on Mother's Day. Let's pray together. Our Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness to us. Help me now to preach. Forgive my sins. Help me to be a clean vessel for you to flow through. May the will of God be done this evening. Speak to us and through me, and speak to me as well, I beg of you. And Lord, bless us next week now. Fill us with thy power and spirit. Use us in a mighty way tonight and all week and next week especially, we beg in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if I were to take a survey, I'm going to be repeating some this evening. If I were to take a survey of women around the world and ask them the question, what's one of the greatest privileges God has given to women? There's no doubt that many women would answer the privilege to be a mother. As a matter of fact, it is an honor that's bestowed upon a married woman to have a blessing and the blessing of the Lord upon their union with their husband, and they conceive. She at that moment becomes a mother. At conception, she becomes a mother. And this is truly an exalted privilege and honor given to her by Almighty God. Then as she gives birth and sees the little one for the first time, just like I said this morning, she feels as if she sees her own heart walking and talking outside of her own body. All the love and joy the mother feels the first time she lays her eyes on the little child that the Lord has allowed her to bring into this world. And let me pause and say here again that in a world that has abortions left and right, an abortion we know from the Word of God is murder. We know that without a doubt because it's clearly taught within the pages of Scripture that God is putting the little one together piece by piece and has breathed life into that little one at conception. That is a life, my friend, and it is murder to take those innocent lives. And it should be the desire of a wife to, listen to me, that has become a mother to be the best mother that God has made her to be. Now with this in mind, we gave you five of the Bible mothers this morning. I've been kind of just challenged and burdened that the Lord just wanted me just to give 10 separate Bible mothers and just summarize their story and then give you a practical lesson to help you out of their life. We gave you five this morning. Let me go back over them. Mother number one was a lady by the name of Eve. And we noticed the practical help that we learned from her is the effects of being discontent with what God has already given you. The second mother that we looked at this morning was a lady by the name of Sarah, Abraham's wife, and the lesson we got from her were the effects of being impatient and getting ahead of God concerning the promises that he has given. The third mother that we looked at this morning was Lot's wife. And the practical help that we got from her out of Genesis chapter 19 is that God is not impressed with our obedience if he does not have our heart. Her body was outside of Sodom, but her heart never left. And we see that people still love the world, even though they're not of the world, if they're God's child. The fourth mother we looked at this morning was Rebekah. And how the Word of God tells us in Genesis chapter 25 that Isaac loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And we saw the effects of showing favoritism to a child above another one. The last one we looked at this morning was a lady by the name of Rahab in Joshua chapter 2. And the lesson we got from her is that a mother should be identified with the blood of Jesus Christ. Just like she identified herself with the scarlet thread, and she attempted to get her entire family into the house that was identified with the scarlet thread. In the same way, every mother, father, and every Christian should not only be concerned about their salvation, I'm talking about should make sure they're saved, but then they should try all they can to get all their family members and all their friends to identify with the blood of Jesus Christ. Now we've come to mother number six. And she's found in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and chapter 2. For time's sake, I'm just going to read some of these verses. Look at verse number 11 of chapter 1 of 1 Samuel. Now the she here is Hannah. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou would indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Look at verse number 19. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son, called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. Look at verse number 24. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with 3 bullocks and 1 ephah flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord as long as he liveth. He should be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. Now in these chapters, I'm just reading just a select, you know, few verses of 1 Samuel 1 and 2. But in these chapters of God's holy word, we have come to one of the greatest mothers, in my opinion, that's found in the pages of God's word. Her name is Hannah. We see her in chapter 1, the first part of it. She has no children, and she is burdened. After she's burdened, she becomes broken before God and begins to beg God for a baby boy. She even commits herself to the Lord that if he would answer her prayers and give her a baby boy, that she would present him back to the Lord for life. Now in these chapters, we see the Lord answering her prayers and giving her a baby boy named Samuel. Hannah kept her word and gave Samuel back to the Lord, and he grew up to be a mighty man of God. Matter of fact, we're studying 1 Samuel in Sunday school, and it's been a great blessing. But it all started, Samuel all started, get this, with a praying mother. Now, what's the lesson that we can learn here? The lesson we learn from this Bible mother is children need praying parents who know how to get a hold of God in prayer and give their children back to God to do whatever he chooses to do with them. Now, after all, children are a gift from Almighty God, and they need to be treated as such. And one of the greatest things that you can do for your children is to be a praying mom, a praying dad, and take your hands off of their lives. Now, what I mean by that is this. God has a will for every single person that's alive on the earth today. He has a will for your children. He has a will for what he wants them to do with their life. And by the way, listen to me, we are very selfish to think that we have the right to put our hands on our children and say, you need to do this, you need to do this. Wait a minute, you didn't create life. God created that life, and God gave them life, and God has a will for their life, and what they need is a mom and daddy who get on their knees and beg God for help and beg God to show his will to their young one, and then commit themselves to the Lord and say, if you'll show my boy and show my girl what you want them to do, I'll take my hands off, I'll give them to you, and you can have them for eternity, because I recognize they came from you in the first place. This is the lesson we learn from the mother by the name of Hannah. Now the point here is that back in this day, now get this, back in this day here, not having a child was looked down upon. And she knew this, and she was burdened, so she took it to God in prayer. What a great lesson we learn from this mother by the name of Hannah. John, right here says this. It says, on the right page of my notes here, Charles Spurgeon said this, and I quote, he said, I cannot tell how much I owe to the prayers of my good mother. I remember her once praying, now Lord, if my children go on in sin, it will not be from ignorance that they perish. And my soul must bear swift witness against them at the day of judgment if they lay not hold on Christ and claim him as their personal Savior. Susanna Wesley, the mother of Charles and John Wesley, she spent 1 hour every day praying for her 17 children. Have you mothers would like to give birth to 17 children? Would you raise your hand? 17 children. She spent 1 hour every day of her life praying for those kids. Now I'm going to tell you something. I'm convicted right there. Let me ask you something, dear mother, dear father. How much time did you spend in prayer on your knees for your children last week? Convicting, isn't it? I'm saying the lesson we learned from Hannah, mother number 6 in our study today, is that she was a praying mother who knew how to get a hold of God. And she committed herself before her children were even born
God, whatever you choose for my boy's life, he's yours. Whatever it is. You know what parents are guilty of? They think that they love their children so much that they don't want their children to leave their nest. That's not love. You know what true love is? Taking your hands off and saying, whatever God wants for your life is what I want for your life. Let me ask you a question. Would you rather call the shots in your child's life, or would you rather God to do that? If you're sitting there right now and you say, Jody, I'm so afraid that if I take my rights completely off, I'm so afraid that God's going to call my little one to the deepest, darkest jungles of Africa. May I make a statement to you? If he does, it's the safest place on earth for them. And it's the place of God's blessing for them. And what I'm saying, there's really two major lessons we get from Hannah. Number one, pray for your children. Number two, take your hands off of your children and let God have free reign. That's number six. Let me give you number seven. Turn over to the book of Matthew, chapter number 15. Matthew chapter 15. Now you understand that mothers are all over the Bible, and I'm having to skip a lot of them. But I'm just trying to follow the Lord in the ones that he wanted me to hit on today. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. The next mother we come to, which is mother number seven in our study, is the Syrophoenician woman. Matthew chapter 15, look at verse number 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Now wait just a minute. Before we read on, put yourself in this dear mother's position. Her daughter is vexed with the devil. The devil is tormenting her child. And she hears about Jesus Christ. And she goes to him and she's crying out for mercy and he doesn't say a word. He's walking. And his disciples are saying, send her away. Send her away. She won't leave us alone. How did the Lord respond? Verse 24. But he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him. By the way, many of people today would say, well, forget you, buddy. In other words, she's pouring her heart out for her daughter, and the Lord, he's tenderly testing her here. He's not being unkind to her. He's testing her. And he says, I'm not sent to you. I'm sent to the house of Israel. The next statement says, she came and she worshiped him. Now stay with me here. This is a beautiful portion of scripture. Verse number 25, then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. This is a beautiful portion of scripture. How'd the Lord respond? Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. That is beautiful, folks. Honestly, what a portion of scripture that is right there. Now, this Syrophoenician woman, in this passage, we see the Lord Jesus is in the coast of Tyre and Sidon. A woman came and begged the Lord to have mercy on her daughter, who was miserably possessed with the devil. The Lord tenderly tested her faith by telling her that he was only sent unto the lost sheep of Israel. However, the Bible tells us that she came and worshiped him, asking him only for the crumbs that fall from the table. That's all she asked for. The Lord saw her great faith and healed her daughter. Now, there's a couple of things I want to say here, but before I get to the lesson to learn from this Syrophoenician woman, let me simply say this. The devil's no match for the Lord. Here's the devil. He's tormenting this daughter. She's possessed with the devil, tormenting this poor girl. And as soon as Jesus spoke the word, be it unto you. As soon as he spoke the word, In the same hour, the devil left. You know what that tells me? We serve a big God, folks. We serve a powerful God that no matter what may be going on in your life, as I've said before, He is bigger than that. He really is. But now, what's the lesson we learn from this lady? What's the lesson we learn from this mother? Here's the lesson. The lesson we learn from this Bible mother is parents should be praying and begging God, get this, for their children's deliverance from the power and influence of the devil. In other words, parents should be begging God for their children's salvation. And at the same time, parents should be known to come to the Lord like this dear mother and worship the Lord, adore the Lord, reverence the Lord. This is the kind of mother that the Lord wants you to be. He wants you to be a mother who is found at His feet, worshiping Him, adoring Him, reverencing Him, and at the same time recognizing the power and influence of the wicked one over your children, and beg God for some crumbs to fall from His table, because the crumbs are more powerful than the devil is. And what I'm saying to you is that we need some moms who get a hold of God like Hannah did. We need some moms who will beg God for their children's salvation and not stop until God works in their heart and God saves them. Let me tell you something. You may be saying, why won't they get saved? But here's the fact of the matter is, if you stop praying, God may stop dealing with them. And I'm telling you that if they're alive, God is being gracious to your children. Some of you may be sitting here tonight and you say, I have an unsaved boy. I have an unsaved girl. He might be in his 20s, 30s, teens. He might be 5. He might be 7. I don't know what he is, but I've got good news for you that when you come to God and you hold on to God, He's not going to force it down their throat, but He can answer your prayer and He can snap them away from the, from the bondage of the devil anytime He chooses. If they'll say yes to Him. We need moms and dads who pray for the salvation of their kids. If you don't pray for it, who will? No doubt about it. This Syrophoenician woman's lesson is that when your children are under the power and the influence of the devil, go to God and refuse to stop going until He gives you an answer and until He helps you. And He will. That doesn't mean He's going to save them, because it's up to them to choose Him. But He can give them another opportunity if you simply pray for them and beg God not to leave them alone. Beg God to convict them. Beg God to get a hold of their heart. By the way, there are some people who have some saved young people. They're saved. They're born again as far as they know. They claim to be. They might be away from the Lord. What's the answer to that? The answer to that is get alone in your room and get a hold of God and worship the Lord and beg God to deliver them from the power and influence of the devil. Man, we need moms and dads who know how to do that. Take the lesson from the Syrophoenician woman. Then number eight, if you'll take your Bible and turn to the book of Mark chapter 6, look at Mark chapter 6, beginning with verse number 17. Mark chapter 6, beginning with verse number 17. We come to another lady in the Bible that was a mother. Her name was Herodias. Who was she? Let's read. Mark 6, 17. And Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John, bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains and chief estates of Galilee. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. And he sware unto her, whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee unto the half of my kingdom. Now notice closely what she did. And she went forth and said unto her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. And she came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in a charge of the head of John the Baptist. The king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought, and he went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head in a charger and gave it to the damsel. And notice this next statement, and the damsel gave it to her mother. Now, in this portion of Scripture, we see John the Baptist has denounced the wrongdoing of Herod and Herodias and their ungodly relationship. He calls it for what it is, adultery. And as a result of this, Herodias wanted to kill John the Baptist, but was not able to do so. However, as her daughter dances for the king later, he promised her anything she wanted, up to half of the kingdom. Her mother, Herodias, instructs her to ask the head of John the Baptist. And because she... Now listen to this. Why did she ask for his head? Now stay with me here. I'm going somewhere with this. She asked for his head because she did not want to hear the word of God. Therefore, Herod had John the Baptist beheaded. Now get this. In this, we see how Herodias was a mother who would rather silence the word of God instead of listen to it. She would rather silence the voice of God's preacher than submit to what he's saying and obey. Now, what's the lesson we learn from this? The lesson we learn from this Bible, mother, is how we have a choice when it comes to God's word. We have a choice either to listen to it or turn a deaf ear to it. We also have a choice to listen to a God-called preacher trying to help or silence him by not listening or heeding for what he gives from the word of God. The lesson I want you to listen to is this. A mother should strive to hear all the Lord wants her to hear and not silence his voice and not pay attention to it. What a great lesson we can learn from Herodias. Here she is, ungodly, as ungodly can get. John is preaching the truth to her. John is preaching the truth to her husband, who should not be her husband, Herod. He's giving them the word of God. This is not right. I'm calling it out. And because of that, she wanted to kill him. And the first chance she got, she silenced him. Here's what I'm trying to say to you. It is an exalted privilege. Listen to me, please. It's an exalted privilege to be carrying the word of God. This is God's book. This is God's word. This old King James Version, bless the Lord, O my soul. This is the word of God. It is God's infallible, inerrant, inspired. It is God's word. And we as a human being, listen to me please, when you hear it preached, when you read it, you have a choice to make. Will you listen to it? Or will you turn a deaf ear? Somebody says, nobody's going to tell me what to do. And you're right. Where you're wrong is this. You have no choice. You're listening to somebody. Do you understand that? Do you understand that every decision you make, you're listening to somebody? You're either listening to God who wants to bless your life, or you're listening to the devil who hates you. Do you want to listen to, do you love this book? Do you read this book? Do you listen to this book? Or would you rather just do without it? Herodias wanted nothing to do with the word of God. What a lady. In a negative way. May God deliver us from that. Amen. I want what God's saying to me. I don't want to turn a deaf ear to it. God, pour it on me. Tell me what you want. I'll do whatever you want me to do, God helping me. Then, mother number 9. Now you see I could get bogged down in any of these, don't you? I'm just trying to summarize and go on. Turn to the book of Luke chapter 1. The book of Luke chapter 1, and we'll read verses 35 through 38. Luke chapter 1, verse number 35. Let's start at verse number 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which should be born of thee should be called the Son of God. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, now notice this, behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. The next mother we look at is Mary. We don't pray to Mary around here. We're not Catholic. Thank God I don't pray to Mary. I pray to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my high priest. And Mary would say the same thing if she was standing up here. As a matter of fact, she already did. She said, my Lord and my God. Mary needed a Savior just like you do and just like I do. But oh, let's not bypass Mary. What a young lady. What a godly young lady. In this portion of Scripture, we see how the angel came to Mary. Oh, I tell you, this just blesses my heart, thinking about the Son of God being implanted into this mother's womb. An angel came to Mary and announced to her how the Holy Ghost would come over her, and the power of the highest would overshadow her, and she would be the virgin mother of the Son of God. Now get this, instead of bucking up against God's plan, she simply said, be it unto me according to thy word. Now, there's somewhere I'm going with this, because there's a practical help in all this. There's so many things we can say about Mary, so many things. But there's one thing I felt the Lord really, really drawing me into, and that is this. Back in this day, it was majorly looked down upon for a lady to have a baby outside of the marriage covenant. Majorly looked down upon. It's still not right. It's still sin. It's still judged by God. But back in this day, it was majorly looked down upon. However, Mary had the Word of God. Now get this, this is great. And she chose to obey the Word of God and do God's will for her life. Here it is. Even in difficult circumstances. She probably knew others wouldn't understand. They still don't understand. They still don't. They still say that the Lord Jesus Christ was born from an immoral relationship with Mary and somebody else. They still don't believe it. They still deny it. They still don't understand. However, get this. She did not question God's word. She did it. Now, what's the lesson we learn in this? Here's the lesson we learn. I've already given it to you, but let me just paraphrase it again. The lesson we learn from this Bible mother is that we should be people of God who do not question God's word and do not question God's will for our lives, but rather whatever the Lord tells us to do, our answer should always be yes. Whatever it is. There's a little chorus that goes something like this. I hope I can remember. It says, I'll say yes, Lord, yes. To your will and to your way, I'll say yes, Lord, yes. I will trust you and obey when your spirit speaks to me. With my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. And in the same way, folks, how can you say, Lord, no? No, Lord. That's an impossibility. Do you see what I'm saying? You can't say, no, Lord. If he's your Lord, your answer is yes, whatever it is. No doubt about it. You know what I'm learning? That people don't mind doing God's will as long as it doesn't bump into their comfort zone. They don't mind doing God's will as long as they don't have to give up something. They don't mind doing the will of God as long as it's an easy way. There is no easy way to serve God. But it's the only way. You want God's blessing in your life? Serve Him. Say yes to Him, whatever it is. The lesson we learn from Mary is it does not matter how hard it may be, how difficult it may be. It doesn't matter if people question you and don't understand you. You just obey God anyway. That's the lesson we get from Mary, among many others. Then the last lesson we get, the last mother we look at tonight, is found in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Flip over to 2 Timothy with me, please, chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, and look at verse number 5. 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. The Apostle Paul is speaking. He's speaking to Timothy, his young son in the faith. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 5. The Word of God says this: "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." Now, the last mother we look at for our study today is a lady by the name of Eunice. Now, in this verse, we see the Apostle Paul saying how he remembers the unfeigned faith. The word unfeigned means sincere, without hypocrisy. That's what it means. It's sincere faith. There's no hypocrisy in it. And he says he remembers that unfeigned faith that was in Timothy's grandmother, Lois, and his mother, Eunice. Now, this tells me something. This tells me that this dear grandmother must have passed it down to her daughter. And this dear daughter must have passed it down to her son by the name of Timothy, who was a child of God. Now, get this. This dear mother, who was a child of God, must have passed her faith down to her son. He was influenced by his mother. And what I'm saying here is that Timothy, who later becomes a child of God and a preacher of the gospel and a pastor of a church, was influenced by his dear mother, who was influenced by her mother. Do you see this? This goes to show that the Lord wants mothers and fathers, but this is Mother's Day, wants mothers to pass their faith down to their children. Now, the lesson I've already given it, but let me paraphrase it again, is that God wants parents to pass their Christian testimony and faith down to their children. He wants his children to tell their physical children about their salvation and how they came to know Christ as their Savior. Exodus chapter 12, verses 23 through 27 says this. This is talking about the Passover back in the land of Egypt. It says, "For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door. And he will not suffer the destroyer to come in under your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when ye come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service," talking about the Passover. "And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, What mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptian and delivered our houses." And the people bowed their head and worshiped. In other words, in Exodus chapter 12, God's saying this: "I'm going to send the death angel in. But if you kill a lamb and strike the blood upon the doorpost, I will not allow the destroyer to come into that home." And he did that. And he passed over those homes, the Passover. He passed over the homes where he saw the blood. Remember when he said, "When I see the blood, I'll pass over you." And he did that. It's a spiritual picture of salvation. And then God says this. He says, "This Passover, I don't want you to ever forget what I've just done for you." Now stay with me. This is beautiful. And he says, "What I want you to do is," he says, "I want you every year to set aside a time where you come together and remember the Passover when I passed over you." And he said, "When you do it, your children may ask you a question and say, What are you doing? What does all this mean?" And he says, "At that time, I want you to set your children down and I want you to tell them what I did for you in Egypt." And in the same way, when you trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, the blood of Jesus Christ was struck on the lintels of your heart's door, folks. And the death angel, I'm talking about the judging, wrathful hand of God, is stayed from you because it's been satisfied with the blood of Jesus Christ. He sees the blood of Christ. He has passed over you. Amen. And he doesn't want us to ever forget that. And he wants us to constantly remind ourselves where we used to be and how he passed over us, and gather our children and say, let me tell you what God did for me. God convicted my heart. God showed me I was a sinner. God came in and saved my soul. I'm going to heaven. Your children should know your testimony as well as you do. That's what I'm saying. This is the lesson that we learn from the mother by the name of Eunice. Now, if you are a mother, that is a tremendous blessing from Almighty God. As a matter of fact, you have a treasure and a gift from God in your children. And let me say to you, please don't take it for granted. Decide now that you're going to be the mother the Lord wants you to be. And several lessons that we have learned from these 10 mothers are: Eve, the effects of discontent. Sarah, the effects of impatience and getting ahead of God. Lot's wife, the effects of having the heart in the world instead of in the will of God. Rebecca, the effects of showing favoritism. Rahab, the mother who identified herself and her family with the scarlet thread. Hannah, the mother who knew how to get a hold of God and took her hands off of her child. The Syrophoenician woman came to God and worshiped the Lord and begged God and didn't listen to anybody else, including the disciples who said, send her away. She kept coming back and kept coming back, and she was begging God for her child's deliverance. We've seen Herodias and how she would rather silence the word of God than listen to it. We've seen Mary, that even though she knew she'd be misunderstood and probably ridiculed and mocked, and it's still happening today, she still submitted to the will of God in difficult circumstances. And then Eunice, she gathered her child and she shared her faith with her children. Good night alive. What a beautiful picture we have of what a mother should be and what a mother should not be. And may God drive this on all of our hearts. The Lord has simplified life. And all I mean by that is this: do the will of God. Do what God wants you to do. And when you do what God wants you to do, business picks up. And I trust you'll do it tonight and the rest of the days that the Lord blesses you with. May the Lord help us with it. Amen. Let's all bow our heads together, please, and close our eyes. Father, take it, use it, bless this in a mighty way. May the will of God truly, truly be done. And your heads are bound, your eyes are closed. When they get prepared here, they're going to begin to play through softly as soon as they get prepared. First thing is first, and that is, do you know the Lord as your Savior? Now, this is Mother's Day, but I'm talking to everybody. If you do not have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, boy, you've missed the boat. Do you know that you've trusted Christ and Christ alone by confessing your sin to Him, asking the Lord to come into your heart and forgive your sins? It's not by works, it's by faith, it's by grace. That's the way of God. Do you know the Lord is your Savior? Is there somebody here tonight you say, Jody, would you pray for me? I'm not going to come to your seat, not going to call you out, not going to embarrass you, but you say, Jody, would you pray for me? I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Or maybe you know you're lost. Anybody like that? Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? I'm looking. My eyes are surfing. Then let me ask you this question. Let me deal with mothers just a moment. Dear lady, has God privileged you to be a mom? If He has, what kind of a mother are you? What kind of a mother are you? Are you a mother like Rahab, Hannah, Mary, Eunice? Or are you a mother like Herodias, Eve, Sarah, Rebecca? What is it? Have you sitting there today and you say, Jody, I'm a mother, but God is speaking to me. This doesn't mean it's something bad. This could be something good. But you say, God is speaking to me. I believe God's dealing in my heart. I'm a mother. and I feel like God is dealing with me. Would you be an honest mother? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest mother, please. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for being honest. Have the rest of you say, Jody, I'm not a mother. I'm talking to ladies there. Or maybe you're a man and you say, Jody, I know this was a message for Bible mothers and about Bible mothers, but even though I'm not a mother, or maybe you're not even a lady, you might be a young man or a husband or a father. But you say, Jody, God, I believe, is dealing with me. I believe God's speaking to me. Have you been an honest person? Be honest. Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. May the Lord help you. May God help you. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take the message. Use it in a mighty way. Please work. Please move. Please do your will. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. If God is dealing with you, would you leave your place now and come? As he sings, would you come, please?
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. In his presence daily live. I surrender.
Standing there playing thread like you look this way. God is working. God is moving. It's a great Sunday night crowd. I appreciate you being here. But I'm going to be honest with you. I don't get up here just to preach, folks. I don't get up here for that. I don't want mediocrity in this ministry. I want to give you God's word, and I want you to take it and digest it and chew on it a while. And I want to change your life. I'm not interested in people coming and not letting the Lord speak to them. Do you realize that if you'll make yourself available, that the Lord can speak to you anytime he pleases? And by the way, it's a privilege when God speaks to you. That's an honor. God has been convicting me of things in my own life. Not bad things, but just things that he's just challenging me to take the high road. Be better in that area. Be better in that area. Be better in that area. And as people are praying, I want to say something to you. I don't want you to ever feel that I'm preaching at you. I don't want you to ever feel I'm preaching to you. One reason I preach hard is because it helps me. God works me over before I ever get in the pulpit. And he points things out in my life. And I realize that if it helps me, it's going to help you. So when this little preacher starts running around the platform, you know God's using it in my own heart. The Word of God's a wonderful thing, isn't it? And that's what we're going to stick with here. We're going to preach the Bible. We're going to teach the Bible. Because if we do anything else, it's flesh. Right? Do other people need the Word of God? Yes or no? Do they? They're going to get it here. This is not the only place, but this is one of them. Let's do our part this week. Amen. I'm begging you. I'm calling upon the church. Do everything you can to get somebody here next week. Everything you can. Please. I'm begging you. Before God. Do what God wants you to do this week and get somebody here with you Sunday. And the Lord can have his way. Amen. That's what it's all about. I remind, if you're a first-time guest, please, if you're a first-time guest, please remember to take your card out the back, put it on the Welcome Center. We've got a special gift. Those 4 or 5 minutes, that's going to help move some furniture if you'll do that right after the service. All the altar workers, deacons and their wives as well, come down here immediately, just a brief meeting. And this funeral arrangement for Dinah Presley's father-in-law, the receiving friends was tonight in Rogersville. Funeral and burial is tomorrow at Independence Methodist in Edison, Tennessee. I encourage our people to make a phone call. Call her. She's one of our dear servants. She loves God. I want to help her through this. Amen. So let's pray for her. Okay? Amen. Good. Brother Bob Bryant, sir, if you wouldn't mind to lift your voice, please be back Wednesday night and let's come praying. Again, Saturday night, 6 o'clock, wherever you're at, and come praying for next Sunday. Brother Bob Bryant, sir, please. Amen. Altar workers, come up here immediately, please.